Red Shark Fastest Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Yes, it's lunchtime, folks, and today we are going to be learning all about Habitat for Humanity because my very special guest is Julie Bowling. And, of course, she's the Assistant Executive Director for the Greenwood Area Habitat for Humanity. They've got their annual, one of their annual events coming up on March 2nd. The Harlem Ambassadors are coming to town. That is a lot of fun, isn't it, Julie?
Oh, it's a great night. We love to share that evening with all of Greenwood County and especially with the families and the young children. It's a great time.
It is, and they are so committed to making sure that everybody has a great time.
They are. They really try to get crowd participation as much as possible. They like to get the young kids out there on the court with all different sorts of games and activities during the game. And they also invite kids to come sit with them on the bench, which is a lot of fun. So they get a lot of personal time to meet the players, talk to the players, receive some positive encouragement. That's why they're there. They're there to connect with the children and the young people in the community.
And if I remember correctly, I think on March 2nd, which is Giveaway Friday, we're actually going to have the whole team here again.
You're going to have a crowd.
Yeah. We had a great time a couple of years ago when they were here. And, of course, it still will be Giveaway Friday because we're going to be giving away tickets. We're going to be giving away some T-shirts. I don't know what all we're going to be giving away, but we're going to be giving away some great stuff for the event that night. So you got to tune in for that. But if you want to come on by and meet them right here, hey, you can do that too right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. But Julie, you know, I always like to ask people when they were growing up. It looks like you grew up, it says Columbia, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And what did you want to be when you grew up?
For the longest time, I wanted to be a teacher. And then that changed when I was a camp counselor.
You started working with kids, wasn't it?
Yeah, that idea flew out the window after one summer of being a counselor, and I decided to go into communications, and I studied communications at Winthrop in Rock Hill for 4 years, and business, too,
mm-hmm.
Which has served me well, because although I did not go into journalism, I have continued to do a lot of community outreach and communications with nonprofits like this. I've worked with churches. So the ability to be able to share those skills in a really positive way in the community has been great.
Well, that's excellent. Well, one of the things I did notice that you moved out to California. Now, that was a big jump for a South Carolina girl.
It sure was. Yeah. My husband, well, who was not my husband at the time, we were just dating, he was going to seminary out there, and I decided that I wanted to get a master's degree in ministry and theology. So he went to his school for 4 years. I went to mine for 2 years, and both of us finished with our master's degree, and we got to spend 4 years in the Bay Area. Loved every minute of it. It was just fabulous. Wouldn't trade it for anything. But when school was done, it was time to come back east and get a little bit closer to family. So we're glad to be back here in the Carolinas.
Well, you know, I always find that interesting because I think so many young people, they never want to leave South Carolina. I think it's, you know, we go to school right at USC or Clemson, Lander, you know, we stay right here. And I was very interested to see that you went all the way to California.
I did. You know, my family always encouraged traveling, new experiences, and so I've traveled all over. I love traveling. That's one of my things that I love to do when I have the chance. And so moving out there was a little bit of a challenge at first because I was doing it, you know, on my own without anybody in my family anywhere remotely close to me. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was one of the best things I've ever done, and I got to meet some amazing people and forge some really great friendships. So
I think it's a great thing, and I think that, you know, we need our kids to get out. You know, I think the world has changed so, though, that a lot of people are afraid to go out there in the world now.
And you know, and the thing about it is you get to meet new people with new ideas, new cultures. That was one of the things I loved about the Bay Area was the diversity of people and getting to meet communities that were from, you know, the Philippines or from China, and I almost felt like I was out of the country at some points.
California is another country, isn't it?
Yeah. My husband and I joked that the misunderstanding between the East Coast and the West Coast is pretty funny because, you know, the people in California think South Carolina is a foreign country a lot of the time. And, you know, they had their preconceived notions of what a Carolina girl or guy would be like and, you know, Southern bumpkin
and that sort of thing. Did you fit their Southern profile?
We did not. I think we kind of, other than the Southern accent, we won them over with our sweet tea. That didn't take long at all.
That's terrific.
Yeah,
that's great. When I was, I'm from Maine originally. I went to UNCG. When I first went there to school, I had, I'll say, a friend who would introduce me. This is my friend Anne. She's from Maine. And people would look down, they would look up, and then she would go, "Say something, Anne." So once I learned to get away from her and throw in a few y'alls, I was okay. But
that's
until
right.
that point, I was pretty much an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
I was banned from any communication or being part of. It was interesting. Of course, that was a while ago, not as recent as I'm sure you were out there in California.
Right. Yeah, yeah. They definitely get a kick out of the accent. There's no doubt about it, and the y'alls. But it's contagious because just being around.
So easy.
It's very easy, and I actually had a few people kind of slipping into a few y'alls there every now and then out in California, which was pretty funny. But the real interesting thing was, I mean, we were there for 4 years, and we were with the same group of folks getting to know people in the community that we were involved in, and I don't know how many times I got introduced as, "Oh, this is Julie Bowling. She's from North Carolina." Every time, and I'd look at them, and I'd think, "What? No, South Carolina. I've known you for 3 years. How come you don't know that by now?" You know, but it happened every time. Everyone would just say North Carolina. It was like South Carolina had fallen off the map or something.
Well, weren't we the first state to secede?
Maybe that has something to do with it.
All right. Well, we are going to be talking about Habitat for Humanity. Now, how did you end up back here in this area, though? Because you're from Columbia. How'd you end up back here?
Right. Well, when my husband finished his divinity degree, he started looking at churches, and we knew we wanted to come back east. To be quite honest, we never thought we would wind back up in South Carolina. We were going to be happy if it was just somewhere east of the Mississippi. But lo and behold, there's a little church in Donalds, South Carolina, Greenville Presbyterian Church, who had been looking for a pastor for quite some time. And we got connected through that church and came, and he interviewed and led a worship service, and they hired him. And so here we are back in South Carolina, and we've been living in Donalds for about almost 6 years now, and it's been great. So that's how we came back to this area. And then after we had been here for about a year, a position came open at Habitat, and I interviewed with them and joined the team.
So how do you like working with Habitat? What is some of the best things about Habitat?
Oh, by far the best thing is getting to know the families and working with them on a one-on-one basis and getting to help them realize a dream that they never thought was attainable. The families that come into our program have never seen or experienced homeownership for themselves or really usually for anybody else in their family. And that's one of the things is if a family or an individual has never seen it or experienced it, it's often viewed as something that's unattainable because
mm-hmm.
they don't have any concept of what that is, of home
sure.
ownership.
Sure.
And so for them to be accepted into a program that is going to give them the tools and the ability to be a homeowner is amazing. And to be a part of that process it's a gift to be a part of their journey and to help them in that process.
Now, I expect one of the things that has to be done besides building the house is teaching the people that you just don't call a landlord when you have a problem.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, for someone who's been a renter their entire life, that is a whole different mindset that they need to acquire. And so part of our process involves some educational classes that they take. There's a series of classes, and we partner with Credibility, credit counseling agency here in town, to help us lead those classes.
We had Tammy on last week.
Oh, yes. Yes,
right.
Tammy
can
see. Yes,
right.
She helps us to teach those classes. And we'll go over everything from real basic things like how do you turn off the water if your sink is exploding with water,
right.
or to more complicated legal things like what does it look like to close on a house and meet with a lawyer and sign all these papers, and how do you go about choosing insurance, and you know, things that they've never had to do before. So we really want to lead them through the entire process, give them as many tools as possible to be successful homeowners, and these classes definitely help with that.
Do you also do follow-up after they move into the homes?
We do. We maintain contact with the families and in relationship with them, make sure things are continuing to go well. We always, as much as possible, we try to have Habitat homeowners in a neighborhood with other Habitat homeowners so that they can build community and build relationships and support one another within their own community. But we're always there for them. We're just a phone call away to help them out in that first, 6 to 8 months or so after they're in the house.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Julie Bowling. She is the Assistant Executive Director for the Greenwood Area Habitat for Humanity. We are going to hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Habitat for Humanity, how you can get involved if you'd like, and what else they do at Habitat for Humanity. So don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Julie Bowling, and I just want to say this. I wish I could lay on a cushion over there in front of the sun and just enjoy the sun like Gracie's doing today. She's being very peaceful here today, folks. Unbelievable.
She's getting some good snoozes in, I believe.
Yeah, she is. She's lucky. But we're talking about Habitat for Humanity, and, you know, I think a lot of people probably have questions as to how it works because you hear about people getting a home. Now, do they just get a home?
Oh, no. There's much more involved in how our process goes. We have an application period where we open it up to anyone in the community who's interested in applying, and we look at four main things. They need to have lived in Greenwood County for at least a year. They need to be able to demonstrate a need for housing. That could be anything from needing more room for a larger family, maybe needing a safer environment for young children, maybe where they're currently living is not in really good shape because the landlord's not taking care of it. We have had some unbelievable living situations come across our path. People have exposed wires, mold, mildew, water issues. Some things are just really sad. So we do take all that stuff into consideration. We do look at income because the houses are purchased by the families. They take on a mortgage.
I mean, they're not just giving them?
They are not. That's the number one misconception about Habitat, that we just give houses away. We can't afford to do that. I don't know a whole lot of people who could afford to do that.
Well, we thought it seemed like an exceptional deal, Julie.
Yeah. Well, the difference between us and any other person who would build houses is that our mortgages are interest-free. So that is what makes us different from any other conventional situation where someone buys a house. They do pay a mortgage. It's just that it's interest-free, and that's what makes it affordable for these families. But because they do have to make a monthly mortgage payment, we need to be sure that they've got the total household income to be able to afford that mortgage payment. So we do look at income, and that amount is based on the number of people in the household. So for a two-person family, they wouldn't have to have as much income as a four- or five-person household. So we do look at that. And then the fourth thing that we look at is what we call willingness to partner. And what that means is that any family that becomes a part of our program, they need to agree up front that they are going to participate on our job site for 500 hours to build homes. Not just with their house, but maybe several houses before their house is built. They'll work alongside our volunteers to drive nails and to build homes for families here in town.
Wow. And so after they go through the initial screening, then you screen some more.
Yes. After the initial screening, the families that qualify to that point are invited to an orientation meeting. And at that,
which you said you're going to have in the next couple of weeks.
We do. We're in the midst of the process right now. We're having an orientation meeting in about a week or so. And those folks that come to that meeting, we hand them a more in-depth application, and we walk through that application with them step by step and answer any questions and explain exactly what it is they need to do. And really, the main thing that we're looking looking at here is documentation. We want copies of income tax returns. We want copies of pay stubs. We want proof of how much they've been currently paying in rent and things like that. So there's a lot of documentation that they have to get back to us by a certain date. And at that time, our committee will sit down and look at the applications, and the people who qualify to that point are then interviewed. We have a committee of 6 people. They are volunteers here in town, and they take their time to go meet with these families in their current living situation so that they can see their current living environment, get to know all of the family members, and just talk to them a little bit and learn a little bit about their family history, where they've been, where they're wanting to go, how they think they're going to get there, and those sorts of things. And then from based on that and the applications, they make their final decision.
Now, how many houses a year do you commit for? I mean, how many out of this group that you have, how many people will get the word that we will be building a house for you?
Well, this time around, we're selecting 4 families,
okay.
Provided that we think the application, that there are 4 really good applicants in this batch.
If there were only 3, you would just do 3.
Correct, because we're not going to pick a family and set them up for failure. We need people who are really qualified, because this is a serious agreement that they're entering into, and we want to know that they're going to be successful and that they have enough income to make the monthly mortgage payments and to be good homeowners. So we definitely, you know, we're not going to force somebody to be a homeowner that isn't ready to be. And, you know, anybody who doesn't qualify, we have had people before who have been really close to being good qualified candidate but not quite there yet. We'll turn them down, but we'll say, don't give up.
Reapply.
Work on these 1 or 2 things. Come back in a year or two and reapply, because you would make a really good homeowner. In fact, one of our current board members, Gladys Holmes, was in that situation when she applied. She didn't qualify the first time that she applied, and we told her not to give up. Come back, reapply. She did. She paid her house off early, and she's now a board member for Habitat for Humanity. So,
wow,
you
that's
know,
pretty impressive.
Yes, and she is one of the best, biggest ambassadors with a heart of gold that's involved with our organization. So, you know, they're, even though somebody might not make it the first time around, you know, if we feel like they really are have the possibility, we will encourage them to come back and reapply.
Not to be negative, but do you ever have any failures?
We've had a couple houses that we've had to foreclose on, but not many. I mean, I think out of 68 houses, we've only had to do that 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to that point, it's we've worked with families. It's not we will not just the minute something bad happens cut them off.
Are you saying it's not like our current situation
right.
with banking and foreclosures and everything?
Right. It's a little bit easier to work with a local nonprofit agency in Greenwood than the big, bad federal government and all that good stuff going on out there. So it's we will take into consideration what's going on in somebody's life. You know, if they've lost their job, if they've had some really bad medical situation arise where they've been in the hospital and have been unable to work, those sort of things we'll take into consideration up until a point, and we need the family to demonstrate that they're trying and that they're doing everything within their power to work with us and to have a partnership. So
now what is the mission of Habitat for Humanity?
The mission for Habitat for Humanity is to increase the number of safe, affordable homes for living in Greenwood County. Sometimes that takes the form of building new houses. Sometimes that takes the form of rehabbing existing houses. So it isn't necessarily that we're going to build a brand new house every single time. If there is a house that's in a good enough shape, we'll rehab it and put a family in it.
It can't cost more to rehab it, though, than a new house would cost.
Correct.
Is that right?
That is correct.
For anybody listening out there who's thinking they'd like to make a donation, right?
That's right.
Now, I presume they would get a tax write-off, though, if they did donate a home that was in that you accepted.
Absolutely, yes. There's definitely some tax benefits for the donor in those situations.
So these are the things we're going to be talking about with Julie Bowling. She is the Assistant Executive Director right here for Greenwood Area Habitat. I do need to tell you right now, it is almost time for South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. But, hey, did you know gold is up to $1,755? silver is at $34.21. It's over that magic 34. You need to come see us. If you have things to sell, don't hesitate. Now, the idea of waiting is very tempting, but what goes up does go down, and we've seen it too many times. So right now, gold is at $17.55, silver's at $34.21. Come see us. Hey, you know who I am. I am Ann Eller right here with my very special guest, Julie Bowling, who is with Habitat for Humanity. Don't you go away. We'll be back after the news.
What does WLMA stand for? Well, it stands for Wow, Let's Meet Again, right here on 1350 AM, Greenwood and the Lakelands News Talk radio station.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
Oh, that's right. We're back here at Stark Passage Gallery. Hey, I just want to remind you, if you have gold to sell, excellent, excellent day to sell, $1,755. Silver is over $34 at $34.21. Doesn't get much better than that, folks. So I would come out and see us this afternoon. Take advantage of the high price. Don't forget, we also buy the diamonds and the color, and we look at if something's in good condition, you get more. So it's a win-win situation. Come see us right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, if you've got a question for Julie today while she's here, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Now, when I talk about calls coming in, we had several calls come in. People heard donation, houses, tax donation, and they were like, woohoo! Now, Julie, can you explain to us a little bit more how that works?
Sure. The main thing to do would be to contact our office. Our number is 223-9399, and talk to us a little bit about what you have, what you're interested in donating, and we would need to arrange a time to have a member. We've got a committee of people who look at pieces of property, whether it is a plot of land or a plot of land with a house on it, and they will go and take a look at it and see if it is something that we would be able to use to help another family. Sometimes there are pieces of land that are tried, you know, people try to donate it to us, and we can't build on it. It's not buildable, and so not a whole lot we can do with that. Sometimes we get houses that are in fabulous shape. We have to do very little work to it, and it's a perfect setup to put a Habitat family into. Well, we would jump all over that in a skinny minute. But, you know, then there's some other houses that need a little bit more work, and that's where the committee really needs to get in there and take a look at exactly what needs to be done. Is the cost of those renovations going to be more than the cost of building a new house? That's kind of our threshold. And then there are houses, you know, that might have, an older home might have asbestos. Well, we can't even touch that, really. And there's just a lot of different things that the committee would have to look at to determine if it would be a house that would be viable for us to put a family in.
Okay. But it is definitely worthwhile if you are thinking in this current environment that maybe you'd like to give it up, get a tax donation. That might be a good thing. So give them a call, 223-9399. That's 223-9399. Check that out. Now, when we talk about, though, one of the things you said, costs, you actually end up paying for things as well as getting donated labor.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Not everything is free. It'd be great if it was, but it's not. We pay for the bulk of our supplies to build the house, and those items come from a variety of businesses right here in Greenwood. We try to do everything with local businesses here in town. And, you know, sometimes things are donated to us from organizations within the community, and that is fabulous. Sometimes services are donated, or if not completely donated, deeply discounted. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to benefit from in our ministry. And that's how we build our houses.
Now, right now you have four that you're working with, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have one that is almost complete right off of Sunrise Circle in South Greenwood, and we are getting ready to start a house right next to it. So we're almost finished with one and getting started on another, and that's the house that our college students are going to be working on when they come into town here in the next week. And then the two houses in where Shoals are being renovated, they are beautiful homes. I cannot wait to get up there and see the finished product, because just walking through them when they were in their state of disrepair, obviously, they had a lot of work to do, but I could see the potential, and I cannot wait to see the final product when I get up there to do the dedication service for the family, because I just know it's going to look phenomenal.
Well, that is terrific. Now, you mentioned about college students coming down. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, every year for the last 10 years, we have participated in a national habitat program called Collegiate Challenge. This program allows college students from all over the country to use their spring break to benefit habitat families.
So instead
College students not going to the beach, hello.
I know. Instead of partying it up at the beach or sleeping in or bumming around with friends, these young people are choosing to give their time and their energy and talent to come drive nails and build houses all over the country. And so this year we've got two groups coming in, one from the University of Virginia and one from Dickinson College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Each group will be here for 1 week, and they'll be working on one of our houses over there in Sunrise Circle. They're going to be doing some pretty heavy-duty labor, getting the frame of the house up, and they're going to be doing some back-breaking work. So I'm pretty sure they're going to be exhausted at the end of the day.
That's probably the idea, folks. But you were telling me that every time after they've left here, you always get really high ratings, and I was asking you, how do you do this?
Well, you know, I'd love to say that it's us, in the Habitat office, but it's not. It's the Greenwood community. This is one event where I really don't have to do a whole lot of work to get people involved. There are people calling us wanting to be involved in this event. We invite businesses, churches, civic organizations to provide lunches to the students every day that they're here in town. We take them on a tour of Greenwood and let them get to know our community and our history a little bit more and a little bit more about what we do at Habitat. And they get invited to dinners at different places. The students are hosted for the week that they're here at different churches. The University of Virginia will be staying at St. Mark's United Methodist Church, and the Dickinson College Group will be staying with Westminster Presbyterian Church. And those churches do a phenomenal job of welcoming the young people into their church family and making them feel at home and welcome. So they just have a great time, and we do a Southern barbecue for them one night, and they just have a wonderful time. They love getting away from the cold and the snow, because the majority of the students we have come are from colleges that are buried in snow this time of year. So they love getting away from all that and coming down to sunny South Carolina.
Now, when will they actually be coming?
We've got a group coming on March 4th, mm-hmm. and they'll be here for a week. That's the University of Virginia group. And then the following Sunday, which is the
right.
at the calendar, but the following Sunday, the Dickinson College group will arrive, and they'll be here that week.
Now, just for the record, on these Habitat, do you have a supervisor out there that says this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it? And if I didn't have any experience in building or whatever, am I welcome?
Absolutely. Come on out and swing a hammer with us. We may not put you in charge of the parasol, but, you know, we'll give you a hammer. No, we have some fantastically very well experienced folks out there on the job site. We have paid construction person who's out there has been building. Our director, Chad Charles, has been building houses in the Greenwood community for years and years and years. And he kind of oversees everything on the job site. But then in addition to that, we have volunteers that have been doing this for 20, 30 years, and they know as much, if not more, than Chad knows. And they are there to kind of help and guide and oversee and answer questions whenever Chad is not right there at the site.
Sure. So you do have a lot of opportunity, folks, to pick up some good skills that will help you in your own home, correct?
Absolutely. This is a wonderful educational opportunity. If you want to learn a little bit about plumbing or carpentry or all different sorts of things, come on out and learn. That's another good thing with our homeowners, having them out there on the job site. They're gaining skills that will help them in their homeownership experience so that, you know, if something goes wrong, they may be able to work on it a little bit themselves before needing to call somebody to look at whatever the issue is. And the same is true for any of our volunteers. You know, we've had people from Lander or Piedmont Tech who are learning some hands-on skills come out and, you know, apprentice a little bit and work with us one-on-one and gain some more skills. So it's a great learning opportunity by far. But, you know, at the same time, nobody has to do anything they're not comfortable with. If you don't want to climb up on the roof, we're not going to make you climb up on the roof or dangle from the eaves or, you know, do anything crazy. So, you know, definitely you can work within your comfort zone, but also at the same time stretch a little bit and learn a little bit more.
Absolutely. And you have people from young people to retired people, correct?
Oh, absolutely. We've got folks from all age ranges and generations. We have young people from 16 and up out there working with us on the job site, and we've got retirees who are out there almost every day and have really found a calling in their retired life being a part of our ministry. And we're actually kind of looking to grow with our volunteers a little bit more. We're looking for some more people who are interested in being a regular volunteer coming out weekly to help us out at our job site. So if anyone is interested in doing that, again, just call us at the office, 223-9399, and we will share all the information necessary on how to become a volunteer, because we got a lot going on with four houses. We could use a few extra hands.
That sounds great. Hey, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are here with Julie Bowling. That number over there to Habitat for Humanity, 223-9399. That's 223-9399. Hey, and if you have a question, well, Julie's going to be here right up till 1 o'clock. Go ahead and give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ready to race to you. Lou Dobbs, Mr. Independent.
Wow. Ann Ellard, I love your show, the I Love Ann Show, which airs from 8 to 10 a.m. each weekday on WLMA Radio in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Well, we have a good time. It's a real positive, upbeat show.
I love it.
Well, then, you will just have to keep listening to the I Love Ann Show weekdays on WLMA 1350 a.m. or WLMA.net.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days.
We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are here with Julie Bowling, and, of course, she is the Assistant Executive Director of the Greenwood Area Habitat for Humanity. We've been talking about some of the things going on. Hey, you know, Julie, one of the things I did notice here is that you can be a member of the Squarefoot Club.
Yeah, Squarefoot Club is a program that we've got going. We've kind of broken down the cost of what it takes to build a habitat house per square foot, which comes out to be about $40. So it's an opportunity for the community to kind of get in there. You know, maybe you can't donate enough lumber for a house or, you know, $20,000, something huge and big like that. But $40 is something that's a little bit more doable for people who are on a budget. And to help us sponsor a house for $40 for a square foot is really, you know, it adds up and it really is helpful for us to build our houses. And then one of the things that we do is we have great big pieces of wood that we use in the construction of the home, and we've broken them up into square feet, and we write the names of the people who sponsor the square feet on there, whether it's an individual or a business or a church, and those pieces of wood get built into the homes. So you're
cool.
A permanent part of the house in that way.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That is neat. So the Squarefoot Club, if you'd like to be a member, $40 will get you there. And, of course, now how many homes have been built here in Greenwood?
We have built 67. The 68th house is almost done and will probably be finished in the next month to six weeks. And we have started the process for the 69th house.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 70th and the 71st house are up in where Shoals currently being renovated.
So 71 homes, and that's been since what, 1988?
1988. We've been very busy. You know, it started off a fully volunteer organization. There was no staff, no office. All volunteers, people who had a heart of gold and wanted to see a difference made in our community, and wanted to see some affordable housing for community members. And since that time, it has grown and blossomed and just become this really wonderful thing here in the community. And so, you know, I think at the beginning, they were just doing a house a year, if that. And, slowly it grew to the point where they're doing two and three houses a year. And so the actual number kind of depends on year to year how we're doing financially, but the goal is to try to do at least four a year. And, you know, if we can get up to five and six a year, that would even be better.
Absolutely. But one of the key points is these houses are not free to those that get them.
Correct. That's by far the number one misconception. I can't tell you the number of times people have said, well, these houses are just given away. And, you know, our motto is it's a hand up, not a hand out.
That's an important one in today's world and in any world, but this is very important.
Right. And, you know, the families are invested in their house, not just financially with the mortgage payments, but with their time, their sweat. That's why we call the hours that they have to do sweat equity hours. They're invested physically, they're invested emotionally, and they're invested financially.
And they have to do 500 hours, whether it's on their home or on other homes.
That's right. And so they get to see other families' journeys before their journey begins and their house begins. And so they get to know the other family members, the families going through the process with them, and they get to forge a really good bond and a tight community amongst themselves.
Well, that's great, but that is that's not something I knew, that they actually had to pay for their home. It's not just given to them. And, of course, you want to see that the people that are in those homes stay in those homes.
Right. Our goal is to give them as much tools, as many tools as we can for them to be successful. And that involves education classes that we talked about earlier. It involves teaching them skills on the job site so that they can work on their own house once they're there. You know, we are a faith-based organization, so we do a lot of praying together and talking about God and faith as well. So it's a very spiritual experience as well, and it's as well-rounded as we can possibly make it. We don't want to just have it be as cut and dry as, hey, here's a house, good luck. It's not. It's very much rooted and grounded in relationships. And that's the only way we know how to do it in order for these families to be successful.
How long has Habitat for Humanity been around as an organization?
Nationally, it was founded in the early 1970s in Americus, Georgia, by Pastor Fuller, and actually I think he was a lawyer. And it was a vision of his to see affordable, safe housing, because the community where he was living in Americus, there was little to no affordable housing for families that really needed a secure environment to live. And from his small organization there in Americus, it grew into this massive international organization that we have today. And it started off here in the States, obviously, but there are houses that are built all over the world in all different countries, and each of the affiliates here in the United States are partnered with affiliates in other countries. We're partnered with one in Guatemala, and we tithe part of our budget to Guatemala to help them build homes. So we're tithing our budget at Habitat here in Greenwood to help build homes in Guatemala. So in essence, you know, if you donate to Habitat, you're donating to build homes in Greenwood, but you're also, a small part of that is also going to help build homes in Guatemala.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah.
Do you ever have people go from here down to Guatemala?
You know, we haven't. Boy, that would be a real neat experience to do something like that if we are able to arrange
that.
Yeah, but we get updates from them in Guatemala and the houses that they've been able to build. And, of course, the homes that they build in other countries, and especially third world countries, they can build a lot more homes for a lot less money in those places. And the homes that they build are much simpler than what we build here. So the money goes a little bit further.
Absolutely. And, of course, we did talk about, and this was something that was very interesting to people, if you have a home that you would like to donate for renovation, it does have to qualify. It can't cost more to fix it than what, of course, the house is. But that is something that is out there. You do get a tax write-off on it. So in this difficult economy, if somebody wanted to do that, they just needed to call you, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Just give us a call. We'll come take a look at it. It just needs to be within Greenwood County. We do not build with outside the Greenwood County boundaries. There are other Habitat affiliates in Abbeville, Lawrence, and different counties. So if you own property or houses in those areas, you know, you need to contact those affiliates. But here in Greenwood, that would be us at our office. Just give us a ring at 223-9399, and we'll be happy to talk to you about arranging a time to come check out that property and if we think it might be something we could use to help out another family here in town.
And talking about you do yard sales every third Saturday. If you have stuff, if you're doing some renovating at your house, right, maybe you've gotten new cabinets or something like that, you would be interested in having that to sell.
Absolutely. We do these sales the third Saturday of every month, and it has just been wonderful to connect with people in the community who are looking for a way to donate items like that. And, you know, it's been great because then it helps out somebody else who maybe wants some cabinets for their kitchen, or maybe they just need a few spare cabinets to put in their garage for, you know, tools and extra things like that. So it's been really wonderful to provide that service to the community, and at the same time, that service helps us to raise funds to build more houses.
Absolutely. So, and where is your warehouse over there?
The warehouse is located at 1502 Edgefield Street. We're in between the Pizza Hut and United Ministries.
Well, there you go. Well, and coming up on March 2nd?
On March 2nd, you don't want to miss the Harlem Ambassadors over at Emerald High School Gym at 7 o'clock. It's going to be a wonderful family-friendly event of basketball and laughter and music and all sorts of good stuff for the children and families.
Now, who plays against the Harlem Ambassadors?
We've got some brave souls who have volunteered their time and energy to run up and down the court against the Harlem Ambassadors. It's just community members, people who care about Habitat and who want to make a difference to help us raise some money and have a good time.
Have you got a full staff, or could you use some more volunteers?
We could use a couple extra players. These players do a great job of running up and down the court and also helping us to raise money with some sponsorships prior to the game. It is just a lot of fun, and they have a good time getting to know the Harlem Ambassador players. And you got to have the ability to be flexible. You know, it's some good fun on the court. It's not necessarily 100% up and down the court basketball. There's going to be some goofing off and silliness that goes on, but it's a good time, and you know, you can't beat that. When you see the smiles on the kids' faces, and Bowers Rogers, we always make sure those kids come out and join us, and I tell you what, you cannot beat the look on their faces when they are out there just dancing and singing. It's a good time.
It is a good time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun, and they'll be in studio on March 2nd with Giveaway Friday, so you'll want to be tuned in for that. Hey, Gracie just has come and announced that it's time for this show to end. It's time for her, LUNCH, right here on WLMA, right here in Greenwood. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Julie, thanks for coming out and sharing today.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.